Hello, listeners. This is Darren, and welcome to another episode of The Criterionist, a look at the Criterion Collection one spine number at a time. This is episode 40. This is 40. And so we're going to talk about spine number 40, and that's Michael Bay's 1998 film, Armageddon. Also, at the end of this podcast, I'll do a little award show for the last 10 movies. Stay tuned for that. Also, this is a podcast where I will spoil Armageddon for you and every other movie I talk about. So just be warned, proceed with caution. Let's get into this film. Let's get into the plot a little bit. It starts with a narration, I believe, by Charlton Heston, talking about how the Earth was destroyed by comets, basically how the dinosaurs were wiped out and the Earth was just destroyed. And then he says, and it might happen again. And then the title card or the time lapse says 65 billion years later. So you know, I don't like this film, so I might be a little rude to it. Why show us 65 billion years later? And if I'm correct, I did not see what year it was. It might be 1998, it might be 1950. I cannot tell from the images they are showing us. It is very confusing. But yes, yeah, 65 billion years later. And then this shuttle is destroyed by a meteor shower. They find out a giant asteroid is coming to Earth, and it's just going to kill us all. Unless we hire some oil drillers to go in, drill a hole in the asteroid, and plant a bomb in it, and it'll explode. That's when Bruce Willis's character, Harry, is introduced, along with a bunch of other actors, Michael Clark Duncan, Steve Buscemi, just a bunch of other people I can't remember at the moment, and Ben Affleck plays AJ, who's dating Bruce Willis's daughter, Harry's daughter, Grace, and there's some conflict there. Conflict that is, again, just ridiculous situations. Just stupid. He's Harry is shooting at AJ for sleeping with his daughter, even though he knows it's been going on forever. I don't know. He's shooting, and they're in the middle of the ocean, digging for oil or whatever, drilling for oil. It doesn't make any sense. I'm gonna be angry this whole episode. So they're hired to save the Earth, but the joke is, I guess, that they're just regular, normal people, and Steve Buscemi's like obsessed with sex, so, and then everyone's cussing, and Owen Wilson's there too, I just remembered, he's not really in it. They're all weirdos, I guess, and the joke is like, oh, a bunch of these weirdo gross people are going to save the Earth. This is a long movie. So long training sequence. A long scene where Bruce Willis convinces Billy Bob Thornton's character, the head of the operation, to let them go out and just hang out one last time on Earth before they may or may not die up in space. A lot of that. They get up to the asteroid. There's some unneeded conflict with a Russian satellite. Another actor joins. I forgot his name, but he's Russian. He's got a thick Russian accent, obviously fake. Maybe not fake, but overdone. Then they finally get to the asteroid. Ben Affleck and I think Michael Clark Duncan. They split off from the rest of the group, and they have to get back. There's some trouble drilling the hole, yada yada. Then the bomb, they finally get it, The bomb has to be manually triggered. So Bruce or Ben Affleck draws the short straw, and then Bruce Willis says, "Take care of my daughter," finally resolving all the conflict and tension throughout the film. Take care of my daughter, and pushes him in the spaceship and stays behind. Everyone cries, and then they save the Earth because Bruce Willis sacrificed himself. Yeah, that's the plot to Armageddon. I don't like this movie. Let's just get into some themes first, because I did see a theme that kind of worked, but because of all the stuff I'll get into later, it doesn't fully work. The theme is everyone's a hero, or like, remember, it's kind of like the show Dirty Jobs. Like, people do hard work, or even Deadliest Catch, people do hard work to get us what we need. Bruce Willis is just your everyman. He has a gun. I don't know. He doesn't want his daughter to be with a lowlife. And he's a tough, good at his job oil worker. So then him and him and his buddies, he's like, "I need my buddies if we're going to drill," he tells the NASA people. So all of them, these normal guys, these man's man, finally get appreciated. And that's kind of what I think Michael Bay is trying to say. Like, remember the firemen, remember the policemen, remember the oil drillers, the people fishing in Deadliest Catch. Remember these people, because they do hard work to get your simple lives, make your simple lives simple, I think is what the film is trying to say. So yeah, I guess let's get into what I thought about it, the conclusion. Again, I don't like this movie. Let me start with positive. There is some good part. There's some montages that are well made. The launch sequence is the best part of this film, like a really good part of this film. Good editing, good music, good shots, good effects overall, sort of. But yeah, they do those well. It's well paced. Like getting ready for the countdown. Other scenes are pretty good. That's mostly all I liked. Yeah, the script is very flawed. I'm not against one-liners. Just watched Goldfinger, where he electrocutes someone in a bathtub, like throws a heater in, and it just electrocutes the bad guy, and Bond says, "Shocking, absolutely shocking," and then walks out. I like one-liners like that. That was cool. In this movie, it is basically maybe 95% one-liners, and they are not funny. They are, sometimes they're offensive, sometimes they're just dumb. They do not work. Not maybe a few work, but basically none of them work for me. This is just so dumb. And I don't know, Bruce Willis is giving, I don't know, one of his least apathetic, it's an apathetic performance, I mean. He does not care. He's just squinting and saying, "What next? Oh man, that sucks. Okay." Just no emotion, just that. Ben Affleck, who is an actor I like, I guess I'm not familiar with his previous work. But yeah, I like him in Gone Girl, I like him in Argo, I like him in The Town. Modern day Ben Affleck is great, but I'm not. This one doesn't help. 10 or plus years ago, Ben Affleck, because he's not giving a good performance. It's very bad. Liv Tyler, who did some of her best work in The Leftovers, the TV show, which I like quite a bit. She's not given a lot to do, but when she does act, she does do it very well. She's, again, very bad in this movie, like, very terrible. The side characters are just side characters saying side character lines. So Michael Clark Duncan and Steve Buscemi are fun. And the guy I can't remember who was in Fargo with Steve Buscemi, doing the Russian accent, they're fine, but they're just dumb characters. I don't know why Owen Wilson's in this movie. Barely. Like, he's not introduced until later, and then he just dies. And in a fine way, Ben Affleck cries for him, but that's it. So what else should I talk about? I guess it's predictable. I don't know. There must have been a. This came out the same year as Deep Impact, which I like more for some reason. But it's just like, why did we make all these comets hitting the Earth? The opening scene is the worst. This black guy with a dog just yelling at everybody in New York, and then a meteor shower hits, and but it hits like a fat Asian guy who he's about to fight. It's dumb. And then there's a cab driver saying, "Yeah, this is New York. Anything can happen in New York. This is just a meteor shower." Yeah, new to me, but yeah, I'm not surprised. It's not funny. It's dumb. It's very stupid. And then I don't know why this movie needs to be 2.5 hours, but it's clear that he just made scenes longer and added scenes so he can have his 2.5 hour movie. There's a whole scene where our guys are our last day on Earth. So they go to the strip club, or they go, oh, I think it's Bill Paxton, or oh, I can't remember, but he goes and visits his son, who he hasn't seen since birth, because he ran away, and he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go out there. I just want to say I'm sorry to the mom." And it's just like, who cares? Who cares? And then there's that terrible scene with Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler saying goodbye one last time. Oh, just the worst. This movie resolves character tensions by just saying, "Hey, I'm sorry. I forgive you," because just like in the middle of the movie, Bruce Willis and Liv Tyler make up, and it's just like, oh, because you can't find another way, because Bruce Willis has to die, so you can't find another scene, so you have to work it in here. But it's not believable, because they've just been angry at each other the whole first half of the movie, and now they can't because Bruce Willis is going to die, and they need to say "I love you" to each other. Which they do later when he's about to say goodbye. It's bad. It's very bad. I don't know. I think that, yeah. And then another thing, is this take place in modern day 1998 or the 50s? Because all the shots of people at home listening to if the asteroid's being destroyed are like in 50s clothes. But the first scene with the black guy and the Asian guy are, it's definitely 1990s. I don't understand. I don't think any of the, I don't think it's very funny. I don't know. I'm getting too angry, so I'm just going to stop. And yeah. Not good. Very low on my rankings of the Criterion Collection. You can find that on Letterboxd. I believe I'm Skaggs 91, Skaggs 91. You can see the Criterion Collection ranked in my lists. This one will be ranked when this one's out, but yeah, it's pretty low. Not as bad as some others, Blood for Dracula. I don't know if anything will ever beat Blood for Dracula, though. Yeah, that's all I'm going to talk about. I would say don't watch this. Yeah, don't. If you listen this far and haven't watched it, don't. Don't do it. I'm fine with it being in the collection, because it probably made some money, and then we can get films like, I don't know, that whatever the next few are, some lesser known films. Brandon Dekill and Tokyo Drifter, never heard of them until the Criterion Collection. Glad I watched them. Some of my favorite movies. Those are high on the list. So if we can have one Armageddon every once in a while, I'm fine because we get Tokyo Drifter and Brandon Dekill type movies. So yeah, it's fine, but don't watch it. Please don't. Yeah, so let's get into the, I guess, the award show portion. And yeah, this is where I just basically stole it from Film Spotting, there where they review the older films, and I just give awards to the last 10, screenplay, actor, actress, director, and picture. And this one's taken a while because I had a long hiatus, so let me just list off the names of the movies, because I reviewed these first few a long time ago. Oh man. Okay, so let's see. We got Great Expectations and Oliver Twist, two David Lean films, Nanook of the North, Andrei Rublev, Diabolique, The Wages of Fear, Time Bandits, Branded to Kill, Tokyo Drifter, and the movie I just talked about, Armageddon. Not my favorite. If you listen back, I didn't like the David Lean films very much. Not a fan of Time Bandits. Armageddon, you just heard, is terrible. So not my favorite bunch of groups. That's how I talk. Not my favorite group of movies. Maybe next time will be better. But yeah, let's get into it. Let's go to the screenplay first. I liked the Branded to Kill screenplay by Hachirio Garyu. Sorry for the pronunciation. But I'm not sure how much of that was improvised or not. Yeah, that film seems to be made up on the spot, which is why it works so well for me. Andrei Rublev's script by Andrei Konchalovskiy. Oh man, that's a hard one. And the director, Tarkovsky, they wrote that screenplay. That would probably win if it wasn't so confusing. But definitely my favorite screenplay is Diabolique, which had a lot of credits, so I won't name them now. Yeah, that one was great. Love how the end says, "Hey, don't tell your friends what you saw, just tell them it's a good movie." Basically, the first spoiler warning. And because of the spoiler warning, because of the twist, is what makes this script so great. I just love the build up to the twist, which frankly I didn't see coming. And yeah, it's just paced well, written well. I liked it. Let's move on to actor. I got Yesevs Montard from Wages of Fear. He played Mario, the main character. John Mills played Finn in Great Expectations. Didn't love Great Expectations, but that's a really good performance. And then Yo Shishido, who played the main character in Branded to Kill, he is definitely my favorite of the group. Just give it that movie's full of weird performances, and he carries the film pretty well. Yeah, so Yeah, let's move on to actress, I guess. Anne Marie as Moscato in Branded to Kill. Again, full of weird performances, and hers is pretty good. She doesn't do much. Not a strong 10 movies for actresses, but Simon Signat played Nicole in Diabolique, and she is the other woman that helps kill the husband. But my favorite performance was definitely Vera Clouseau, the main character in Diabolique, who is the wife of the director. Very interesting. She's also in Wages of Fear. Not a great character in that movie, but it definitely hands down maybe my favorite character in any of these 10 movies. Yeah, she does amazing. I am fine with the nepotism in these. Let's move on to director. Henry Gores Clouseau in For Wages of Fear. Very good direction with the trucks. Very intense scenes. You're very frightened for the characters. So, yeah, he did well with that. Andrei Tarkovsky with Andrei Rublev, mainly for making an almost 4-hour film. That good job and very, very well made. Even though it's a little bloated, that's fine. He still should be praised for that movie. And probably my favorite direction is Senji Tsuzaki's with Tokyo Drifter and Branded to Kill. I could probably bunch these two together, but yeah, definitely one of my favorite directions. Directions director. My favorite director from the yeah these 10 films, because it's such a weird, colorful, beautiful, odd film. Let's move on to picture. Diabolique and Branded to Kill are amazing, but Tokyo Drifter has risen in my view. That movie is so crazy and odd and very funny, very. It's awesome. I can't. There's no other word to describe it besides awesome. Yeah, please go watch that one. Yep, that's it. That's all I'm gonna talk about. So you can follow me on Twitter at the Criterionist. Listen to my other podcast, The Rosebuds. We've been talking about Pixar lately. We've been talking about five favorite breakup songs and The Office Season 3. I co-host a with my friend Andrew. You can find it on iTunes. It's Rosebuds One Word. Please subscribe to that. Subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. Leave a review down at below. And hey, 5 stars. 5 stars, please. Thank you. Read my movie review blog, schmuckforlife.wordpress.com. That's schmuck, F-O-R, life. Film Franchise Fridays, where I'm doing the James Bond and Friday the 13th at the moment, and just reviewing movies from 1978, because there's not much coming out. I have one for Cinderella, which is amazing. So go read that. The review is okay, but the film is amazing. Yeah, go read that. I'm also might see It Follows soon, but that doesn't matter to this podcast. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. Bye.